The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 513. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, Pete? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
Adam Vale.
LA's the champs. LA's the champs.
You know, Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoma.
Another week, another Ubisoft rumor.
Oh, Lord. Hopefully we got a question about it, but it's always something with this company, you know? But yes, we are back with another one, question show, numbered one, which is good. And I don't know what's been going on with OBS lately. Now, and when our intros start, we don't even see us. You hear us, but you don't see us, so... It's always some bullshit, but I put it on now. We're good. We're good now. Yeah, a little bit of a scattershot week. No real theme. Although we did get some questions for specific members of the panel, and I'm glad everybody's here so I could, you know, address you guys. Anyway, I'm just going to take these as we got them. Very appropriate. We got our first question is also from Mr. Michael Santiago, who won Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection from us. So shout out to him. Congratulations to him. That copy Manny's holding will be sent to you very soon, along with some more goodies, right, Manny? You're muted.
Just waiting for the printer to do it. I should have it ready by Monday, and then, I should bring that out.
Good stuff. All right, so his first question, and Manny, I guess you could answer this first, but everybody could join in, obviously. What game would you like to see in Season 2 of Secret Level?
Oh, Secret Level. I'd like to actually see them take a actual Sony property, because that which is they have that one episode of the Sony of the Secret Level, which is like kind of a hodgepodge of a bunch of PlayStation properties. I really like to see them actually take one PlayStation property, you know, and actually adapt it into one of those Secret Level episodes. So, to be honest, I'd go with Gravity Rush. I'd like to see that.
Oh, there you go. Oh, by the way, real quick, Mr. Michael Santiago is in the chat right now. He goes, thank you so much.
What up?
He goes, thank you so much for the gift, Throwdown fam. Have a great show. Thank you, man. Uh-huh. Glad you're here joining us. Is anybody else watching this Secret Level show?
I don't think so.
Only read the book.
I will be.
Only read the book? Yeah. So what, again, open question now. What game do you want to see in Season 2?
Crickets.
Yeah,
nobody. Yeah, I don't have an answer. I don't watch it. So. All right.
Okay, so that's, yeah.
Well, it's not coming out until the 10th. So, yeah. We got a couple days.
Yeah, well, you know, he's already looking ahead. But, Rich, I think I already know your answer. You want to see Assassin's Creed Shadows.
No.
They already had the Concord episode. Maybe we'll have the Shadows episode, another failure, right?
That game might not even be, still, I don't really know what's the correct thing to say. Yeah, I don't want to see that, though. No. I'm good on
obviously,
that.
We, yeah, we can no, you pass actually have that. Good taste, obviously. Yeah, you don't want that trash. All right, we'll move on. Next one. This one is from 2DX. Also, my boy Jeffrey Wilson. We kind of started answering this. I'm like, we'll save it for the question show. Which pulp hero would you like to see get a video game? Manny, you can start us off because you answered already.
I'll go because I already answered. Yes, the Shadow Man.
There you go.
That would be awesome. Like he has so many like you know, so many abilities that that great for games. Like he has like a psychic ability where he can cloud people's minds. He can, you know, look like different people. You know, he's got the guns. It'd be fun, you know, that you have like a open world of New York. You know, he also has the detective abilities and stuff like that. It'd pretty much be Batman, just with the shadow, but he has guns.
Was it a thing in the old comic, like in the movie, where he had, you know, kind of a gang of people? Remember, he gave them the ring and he would use passphrases?
He had
Agents
of the Shadow. Like when he would save people, from criminals, he'd be like, you know, you are now an agent of the shadow. And then, you know, he would, you know, he'd give them a ring and then he had all these different people. So like, that'd be a cool aspect too, right?
Yeah.
Where you save somebody from a crime and then now you have them.
Yeah, okay. I like that.
Yeah. So I was going to say, as a joke, I was like, hey, they should make a new Phantom game, because remember Phantom 2040 on Super Nintendo? but to my surprise, there's a new Phantom game coming.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like you can pre-order it now. It's coming to Switch, PlayStation, Xbox, Steam. And it looks like a side-scrolling beat-em-up. And it looks kind of cool. It looks like it's like a side-scrolling beat-em-up with like a comic book art style. It's all hand-drawn, frame-by-frame animation led by well-known DC and Marvel artists. Very interesting. So, yeah, the Phantom might be fun. That's old school right there. But, you know, if you guys remember the movie with Billy Zane, there was that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, I can't say Conan because he has a video game, several video games.
You could actually have him have a good video game.
A good video game, yeah. How about people like Conan Exiles? Yeah, people like Exiles.
Like that one.
Yeah, people like Exiles.
People but that wasn't a Conan Exiles is just random, like open, you know, like random multiplayer or.
Yeah, but it's in the Hyborian age. It's in that world.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa! Hold on a second.
Yeah, I knew that. I didn't like that game.
Oh, come on, Brett. Where is fucking Conan in that game?
He's in the game. Of times, but it's not. Yeah, it's set in the Conan universe.
It's in the Conan universe.
Yeah, it's a Conan game. It counts and it's good. No, you know.
That's like calling a game. I feel like then it's done for recognize.
Well, it takes place in the Hyborian Age, where their hero hangs out in the Hyborian Age.
It's a game that's called Conan, and Conan is barely in it.
Well, what else would you call his setting, though?
Exactly. The Hyborian game?
Because it's...
Manny, what's going to sell more, Conan or the Hyborian Age?
Yes, but Conan will sell, but it's like, again, it's like, well, you have a game called Spider-Man, and you don't have Spider-Man. You have Spider-Man barely in the game.
Yeah, it was called Miles Morales.
I got you there.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, anybody else?
He's a Spider-Man, just not the Spider-Man. Yeah.
Okay, okay, hey, Brett, I want to go back to this. You always bring up the idea of like, hey, we have this franchise, this character that would be great, a great adaptation, but they did it and they fucked it up. Now we'll never see it again. You talk about this all the time. The character I want to bring up is that I would like to see, but they're not going to do an adaptation because the movie sucked, John Carter of Mars. Brett, they fucked that up. We're not going to get that anymore.
Dude, that could have been such a great sci-fi futurism thing, like a retro futurist thing too.
Yeah, they could have, but like you always say, they fucked it up. They had that one chance, now it's just ruining the public consciousness.
You know what though? You know? Like, I don't know about that, Tony, because like, one, the movie was such a spectacular failure.
Yeah,
that everybody has already immediately forgot. I forgot about it until you just said something. But also, like the resurgence of like love of retro futurist, kind of vibe and tech, like that kind of Art Deco-y tech. Like, I could see somebody doing like a high Art Deco, not steampunk, but like the same way like the steampunk has that flavor, we do that like real retro futurism, like a very clean Fallout kind of thing.
Yeah,
I could see people loving that shit.
Yeah, because it would be cool to see something like that. Well, what's that genre called? It's like sword and sorcery. It's like space it's like space version, you know. Because it's basically fucking Sword and Sorcery just in space, you know? Like, wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, well, that's kind of what Star Wars was based. But kind Star Wars of. Is only one take on that idea, right? Like, you have, like, space wizards and lasers and shit. Like, fuck yeah, like, that could be awesome. And John Carter of Mars has, like, that very almost kind of, like, cheesy
yes.
velour miniskirt, you know, kind of, like, it's just, it's if you keep the cheese intact, like, it could be so much fun.
Yeah.
And, like, you've seen games, like take, like, architecture and ideas from, like, Prometheus Alien, like the, you know, the Alien game, like that had a really cool vibe, and a lot of it was also because of the aesthetic. So, like, I think that it has enough just aesthetic value, and that was like a ripple in the pond. That I think one day you could see a John Carter. Give it another 5-10 years, and maybe you'll see some interest rolling around.
You gave
it.
Me hope, Brett, and I appreciate that, because it would be so cool, you know?
Yeah.
It would be fucking awesome.
I play the shit out of that, but they'd have to do it right, because it would almost feel like a BioShock in space.
Yeah, because remember, it's funny because, you know, when the John Carter movie came out, people were like, oh, it's ripping off of Star Wars. No, all that shit, Star Wars ripped off of it.
Yeah, you know? Well, and
the new adaptation, it didn't have the same vibe, and it didn't have the same flavor as the original. Like, they got rid of all that 50s, like, I don't even want to call it cheese. I don't know what to call it. Like that 50s veneer, and they just like they modernized it. Like that high sci-fi, you know, super scientist vibe is part of what made it cool.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of Jetsons era kind of.
Yeah. Oh, thing. By the way, and Brett, here's the beautiful part. It's not 1950s stuff. It's 1920s stuff.
That's like, right. Yeah. Retro like, that's even more.
Fuck. You know?
Yeah, yeah. That's like Marvin the Martian's rocket kind of era. You know, like it's such a cool design aesthetic too.
Yeah, Manny, I know what you were saying. They didn't super modernize it, but no, they kind of
like he still like fought in the Civil War and all that stuff.
He was still a Confederate. Yeah. They kept that out there, you know.
Yeah, they still kept him as a Confederate. So,
well, I mean, like they lost a lot.
I think modern now means something different. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, my bad. I meant they lost a lot of the Art Deco kind of visual flavor.
Yeah, yeah.
Art Deco I would have expected definitely. From John Carter of Mars, like that. That's supposed to have a style to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. All right. Anybody else? Pulp Hero. Remember, guys. Pulp Heroes. You know, typically. Heroes from the 1930s and stuff like that. Not Judge Dredd. That was the 1980s, you know?
Does the Phantom count?
No, the Phantom counts.
The Phantom counts.
I fucking love the Phantom.
Yeah, so Brett, we're getting a new video game, so there you go.
Wait, what? Seriously?
You didn't hear what I was saying 5 minutes ago, did you? Yeah, so Brett, bro, I was going to make a joke about...
Hold on.
Yeah.
I need you to understand Path of Exile came out like a day or two ago, all right? Like, I am trying here.
Yeah. Okay, I'll just repeat it. So, yeah, I was going to make a joke about, you know, that old game, Phantom 2040, only to find out there's a brand new Phantom game coming out to every platform.
Yeah, like I thought you meant Phantom, like the guy in the fucking purple outfit, not Phantom, like the ghost that murders people.
Yeah. I don't know who you're talking about.
That's the only Phantom we know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the same guy.
Who are you talking about, Brett?
Am I getting his name wrong? He was the 90s. He's like a comic book. I want to say 30s from DC.
Are you thinking Wait, Phantasm?
I think you're thinking of someone else.
Phantasm.
Maybe thinking of the Phantasm. Yeah,
the Phantom was wearing purple.
Yeah, the Phantom does wear purple, yeah.
Yeah, the Phantom wears purple, but the Phantasm is also not real character. He's kind of meant to feel like an old Batman character, but he's totally. So you might be thinking that. I don't know.
Like, yeah.
And maybe give the Spirit a game then.
The Spirit, there you go.
You know, like a noir detective thing.
Yeah, that could be cool. Character. Yeah,
something that isn't anything like that shitty Frank Miller.
Oh no.
Yeah, we got to do Will Eisner right. You know, good stuff. All right, moving on. We have two questions from one of our dedicated fans, Mr. Romudeth. He's not sponsoring questions; he's asking original questions. So,
Yo, man, who? What? What? Robbie Duff, what are you doing?
What you doing, man? He's not sponsoring people. He's asking original questions. So, first up, have skills you've learned in video games helped you in real life? Conversely, have skills you've learned in real life helped you in video games? For no reason whatsoever, I'll go first. I think here's one we could all relate to. Tetris, you know? It taught you how to organize shit in real life, you know? Like, even till this day, I'm like, oh, we got a Tetris this shit, you know? Definitely a skill from gaming. And also just navigating through, like, streets and stuff, like video game mode, you know? It's like navigating, trying to find where we're going. So definitely that's helped out. And then here's one that's fun, right, that I, like, recently implemented, like, about, I would say, 2 years ago, right? I noticed that in video games, I am way stingier with my money than I am in real life. Like, in my real life, I'm not saying I'm frivolous, but I don't really think too much about it. I'm like, I'll spend this. Yo, with video games, bro, I like, hoard my fucking money. Like, by the end of the game, I'll, like, have, like, $10 million I don't even need and shit. So I started implementing some of that. I'm like, dude, try to be as stingy in real life as you are in a video game. And that's helped me budget, you know? So that's kind of cool. And then here's one trick I'm trying to implement the other way around, but I haven't mastered it yet. This is something I just realized, like, maybe 3 months ago. I'm like, Tony, why don't you start doing this? I'm going to try. In real life, when shit gets really hard and difficult, I go into what I call, like, logic mode. Like, emotions completely go away, and I just think through shit logically. I completely attach myself emotionally easily, right? But if I'm in a video game and I'm playing a boss, I'm like, I'm going fucking nuts, sweating, going insane. I'm like, dude, try to do, like, what you do in real life when something crazy is happening. Try to do that in a video game. I haven't succeeded at it yet. I'm still not good. But, you know, it's like, in real life, I don't have anxiety. That shit doesn't exist in real life. In a fucking video game, it comes up, motherfucker. You know, so I'm trying to implement that, you know. What about the rest of you guys? I'll go down the line here. Adam, are there any gaming skills that have helped you in real life and vice versa?
I'd say organizing, like when you play an RPG and then there's only so much that you can carry. Mm-hmm. And then you try to determine what's a necessity and what's not. And I attribute that to video games and being in the Boy Scouts. It's one or the other. One of those has helped me with that skill of when I pack my bag of things I need, you know, my food and this and that and where to put things. And again, it gets a little bit of Tetris comes into play because I'm like, I can lay my Steam Deck here, put my work laptop here. Like, you know, but I mean, the key, the one, and this, they say across the board, applies to all gamers, according to doctors, is that it builds hand-eye coordination. You know, they talk about how that's the one big benefit whenever you hear, like, oh, video games are bad for the kids. And blah, blah, blah. Doctors do say it builds hand-eye coordination because what are they doing? They're observing and then they're using their hands to control things without having to look. And it's the same type of thing of, like, touch typing. You know, when you touch type... Yeah. Some people that don't know, they're like, damn, that's freaking amazing. How are you doing that? How do you, you know? And it's the same thing. Yeah, if you give a controller to someone who doesn't play video games, and it's like, all right, here, do this. It's like, what did you just give them? There's all these buttons and sticks. They have no idea. So it builds, you know, hand-eye coordination, problem solving. If you're big into puzzles and then playing Myth and all those, remember those back in the day?
Yeah.
You know, you put some time into it and it seems meaningless until you start figuring things out in the real world. I'm like, damn, I have patience now because I played that bullshit game. And now I have patience to do it. This real life bullshit. Thank you, game. So, or id Software, I think they're the ones that created that one. But yeah, those are the things. I mean, I'm sure we all have something, but yeah, there's a lot that we learned from video games that have helped in the real world.
What about you, Manny?
I would say, yeah, the Tetris one thing, not the stinginess in video games. I spend a lot, but at the same time in the video game world, I grind a lot. So I have a lot of money.
And also in the club.
I've just, grinded away, you know. In real life, I grind away and I don't get any more.
Yeah. That's how it is.
I spend very little. Actually, think about it. I don't buy any of the games. I'm not big into skins. I'll just get like a basic outfit. I'm like, that's it. Next year, my son will jump in. I forgot what game I was playing. He's like, you got all this money and you don't spend any of it.
Yeah,
like,
no.
But for what? I'm not going to use it. I'm not a hoarder. You know, it's like,
oh. Yeah. So, I guess personal item, man, right? I would say maybe,
Resident Evil, you know, in the briefcase.
Yeah, like, yeah, or, you know, or what, to, or like in Metal Gear, on what side you have your you know, what side you have your stuff on. So yeah, on the left side, you have all of your support items. On the right, you have all of your weapons. So I'm like, I guess in my right pocket, I have, you know, a bunch of a certain set of things that are always there. And my left, it's always the same, you know, the same thing. So I know exactly where things are. I don't know. Maybe that stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. Carlos.
I would agree with Tony. I have something similar as well, as being stingy with money, especially with RPGs.
Oh yeah.
Whenever you have, I do that not only with money, but with skills. So I guess, you know, it kind of translates when you have like a skill tree and you have like 1,100 skill points, you're like, you know, I'm just saving these up, you know, when I know that I need them. So kind of something like that translates to me, when it comes to like finances. Also another something that I learned is just understanding, different, you know, different perspectives. You know, I was, you know, growing up here in Texas, I didn't get a chance to meet like people from outside of where I'm from. So, you know, when getting on Xbox Live when I was like 13, meeting people from the UK for the first time, you know, meeting people from New York when I was like 13, 14, it's like a different perspective in life and different like cultures and stuff that I got to know because of gaming that I probably wouldn't have known otherwise, you know, probably until like Warzone kind of days. Shoot.
Jag on.
You see, Tony, that's a modern take on it, because he's talking about just doing chat. We didn't have the online service back then.
Yeah, but we also had something he didn't, New York. That's how we met motherfuckers from all over the world.
Oh, you know? All over the place.
That's dope, man. All right, Brett, what about you? Gaming skills that translate to real world and vice versa.
It's tough for me to tell you which one goes which way, but like critical thinking, muscle, eye-hand coordination. I mean, like, fuck, man, like, I have to have a super, super steady hand for what I do, and I can probably attribute at least the beginnings of that to video games in some way or another. It's, you know, the art got me interested in art, and you know, years playing video games, you know, gives all of us a, you know, pretty good hand-eye coordination, I want to say, at least, you know, not when running around. Like, doesn't necessarily translate to like sports and whatnot, but I think it translates into like model building and, you know, fine motor skill painting and things like that. So I also think a lot of early games especially didn't like to feed, you know, they didn't even have a severed head sitting on your belt feeding you answers 24 hours a day. We just had to figure our shit out. You know, that helped with a lot of critical thinking kind of things. I think for creative endeavors, it helped a lot of people understand writing, story structure, character development, things like that. You know, you're going to be hard-pressed to find an artist or a writer amongst us that didn't have some hand in video games helping that become a passion and a thing that drove us. So I honestly don't know where to draw the line. I know that's a bit troublesome to answer, but like, so, you know, directly, sure, like fine motor skills, you know, critical thinking skills, working memory, you know, just stuff like that. But, you know, secondarily, you know, a whole lot more.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably way more that I just not even thinking about.
One hand, a few small things. On the other hand, it's the entire course of my adult life.
Yeah.
And there's not really an in-between way to look at it.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I'm like, it's just gaming is help. It just informs the way I think about life in general, you know? It's hard to parse it out. All right, Brian, what about you?
Apart from the ones that people have already mentioned, I want to throw out optimization and efficiencies, because I feel like that's one thing that is really overlooked, because that's basically just min-maxing, really. Like, you're finding the optimal route to do something or to reach some sort of objective with the least amount of, not work, but the least amount of stuff happening, which is great. And also, it led me to discover square-square triangle. And Tony knows exactly what that means.
Yes.
That's the best part.
Good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Chris.
Oh, wait, hold on. So I'd say a real life skill that's translated to games is, I'd say maybe I'm better at racing because I actually drive. So I've been able to leverage that in games like, you know, in GTA or Need for Speed. In the reverse, I'd say Souls games teach you patience.
Oh yeah.
I mean, mad patience. Like the Dark Souls, especially like fucking Sekiro, man, because you can't block in Sekiro, you have to parry. And those fights were bananas. And that shit, you have to have so much patience. It's not just get good, that game will make you learn patience, man. So that, yeah. And that translates to like, because like, you know, I have had a lot of patience, but they really like test you in those games, so.
Nice. And Rich, what about you?
So first and foremost, let me just say that is a phenomenal question. This Romudev kid is going
love
somewhere.
To answer that, but I just don't have the time. Yeah, yes, yeah. Please, thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic.
He's going places.
So
what's up, Assyrian Air Force? We saw you. We saw your stuff before, Golden Axe and Judge Dredd and stuff. Anyway, continue, Rich.
Oh no, so. I do have a similar answer, but I also have another added one. So my similar answer, I agree with what Carlos said just about learning about people from different backgrounds. I think about Mass Effect again. I've mentioned that game multiple times on this show because that entire series was fantastic from a storytelling standpoint. I'm pretty sure that Baldur's Gate 3 is great. I haven't played it yet, but yeah, Mass Effect. Being able to meet all these different aliens, the different races, understanding the things that they're going through, it definitely helped me to want to understand what others are going through or just talk to them, engage with them, so on and so forth. So I think that has helped. And then this one is a lot more recent. I would say that in terms of gaming, this year I played a lot of other games outside of what I normally would play, such as Konitsugami. The strategy tower defense game, because I was interested in trying other things in gaming. And also, how I connect that to life is that I have been stepping out of my comfort zone, doing a lot of other things, like taking on a whole bunch of different activities, so on and so forth. And, you know, I think it is very...
playing cricket.
You're playing cricket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, actually, you make a joke, but I am actually... going to be going to a class to do that pretty soon.
Oh,
to
shit.
See how that
that's
is.
What's up.
Yeah, just for, you know, just to get some experience, because I do have a gym membership. I got to use it. but, you know, yeah, just taking the opportunity to really step out of my comfort zone, because, yeah, for the longest time, I didn't really do that all through school. I would do certain stuff, but I kind of always kept to myself, so on and so forth. So as I continue to get older... just trying to go out and explore and do more things is very fascinating, and I also connect that to gaming because I want to try to see what other games are out there, not just the AAA stuff. I want to try to really, you know, have a diverse palette of different things. But I will say this, no compromises. Concord is hot garbage, so they will not ever get me to play that game. So there you go.
Yeah, you don't want to be too open-minded, you know?
Yeah.
They'll sucker you into anything, man. All right, good stuff. We got another question from this kid, Romudev. During the Tekken World Tour, we learned the next Tekken 8 character will be revealed at the Game Awards, which will obviously be streaming. Who do you think it could be? Will it be a franchise character like Anna Williams or a guest character like Tifa Lockhart? So this one's kind of interesting because I don't think you're going to have a character announcement at the Game Awards if it's not somebody big. And I don't think it's going to be anybody that's like, oh, here's you know, Bob, you know? So
I going to be like a celebrity entry?
Yeah,
like,
it's going to be a guest character, you know? Remember, Adam, one of the wildest guest characters for Tekken 7 was fucking Negan, you know? Which is absolutely insane. Yeah. But ever since, now I'm forgetting motherfucker's name. The guy from Final Fantasy 15, he was a guest character in
Noctis.
Yeah, Noctis. He was the guest character, and ever since I've been like, "Yo, why don't you have Tifa?" And she actually kind of makes sense. So obviously the developers have never said anything about Tifa at all. It's just a fan thing. But I think I don't know who it's going to be, but I think it has to be somebody big. And here's the bold prediction I'm going to make, because we know Tekken 8 is nominated for best fighting game of the year. I predict it's going to win. Followed by the trailer of the character reveal, you know,
The Rock.
Yeah, he got paid the money, you know.
Gotta get that money.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg. Imagine if he's a Tekken. No, for shizzle, man.
I'm gonna beat you, Jin Hazama. I'm gonna throw you in the smoky volcano.
Oh. then I'm gonna smoke my blood.
Right, that's his finisher. He takes and blows all the smoke.
That's it. Yeah, he throws fucking. Imagine that. He throws Kazuya off the volcano and then he lights it up. You know. I think it's gonna be his character. I don't know who the hell it could be, but gonna be a guest character, and we will bring it to you live that night. By the way, real quick, they're starting the pre-show earlier this year, like at 7:30, which is crazy. So we'll probably start streaming early. It's gonna be a long stream, Adam. Get ready. You know, it's gonna be a long
stream. What day is it?
Thursday.
It is a Thursday still.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think the show starts at 9, but they're starting to pre-show at 7:30. I wonder if they're just getting rid of all the fluff, you know, or the good stuff before.
No, like, they're gonna make a bunch of announcements. They're gonna make a bunch of give away a bunch of awards during the pre-show.
Yeah,
like they did last time.
And they do like a credit roll of all the people that won.
That's it. And here's what I'll say: if the Tekken character is just a normal character, they're going to be revealed during the pre-show when nobody gives a fuck. But if it's a big character, it'll be revealed during the main show. Because apparently it costs less to reveal stuff during the pre-show than it does during the main show. During the main show, it's like, I heard it was like $200,000 per minute, you know? Uh-huh. It's fucking insane, you know?
I just want Super Cop to come back. That's it. Like that whole, the Jackie Chan version with the suspender, you know, the whole thing. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But he wasn't with the outfit though, and he didn't do the whole. He didn't have that look, and I
yeah, they changed the look. But the character still. He was at 7. He's not at 8 yet, but it's that same, still the same character. But I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Didn't he also have Drunken Master? Wasn't that the whole thing too? Wasn't that what he did?
No.
There was somebody else. I remember laying down and playing dead for a while. No. I remember that
He does have. Like, he is Jackie Chan 3. He does moves from all of Jackie
Chan. Okay, so then it was
okay. By the way, just how fucking law, he's Bruce Lee, you know? He's even more Bruce Lee than Fei Long is. Like, he's, like, man, even his super move is like, you know where Bruce Lee stomps on your chest and he does that funny face? Like, that's his, you know. And he does that weird face and it just lingers on it and shit. Yeah. It's great, you know? All right. Next up, Illustrated Dio.
That wasn't a question.
It was a question. The question was, who do you think it's going to be? That was a question.
But we didn't answer.
I did answer it.
Huh? We didn't answer.
Yeah. Well, you can answer it. Go ahead, Ben.
I'm going to say out of, you know, special characters, I would.
Jeff Keighley.
Imagine that. Yes.
I would take a. These guys, key characters. I think they do.
Not guest characters, no.
No, I'm saying so now, you know, you have Terry Bogard in. So would you put
a Terry Bogard's in everything? He could, why not? You know?
I'm going to go with 2B for Tekken.
There you go. That works, you know?
Yeah. Even like though that. She's in Grand Blue Fantasy.
Yeah. I mean, they have Alyssa, who's a robot girl, so why not, you know?
No, but she uses a sword. I think that the biggest issue with a lot of the you know, and your thought on, you know, the general consensus thought of having Tifa in there is
because she's a
punching character.
Yeah,
you know, they had Noctis in there with his, you know, goofy like Disappearo blades.
Yeah. Well, my main thought with Tifa is like, not only does she work well, but it's a big enough game that's going to get people hyped. You know. So yeah, I guess that'll be the other part of it. So Brian, obviously you play Tekken. Who do you think it could be?
See, that's a really good question, and I'm not too sure because so far it's been returning characters from previous games, and the only one that is that are established was Heihachi and what's his name, Eddie.
Yeah.
They were in prior games, well, in more than one game, whereas Lydia was new in Tekken 7. So it's interesting. There's no precedence as to how this is being done. So I would like to see some old school characters. Maybe, again, as Tony said, Bob. That could be fun. Again, the rumor is Anna Williams, which is slightly not that great of a character. Well, not that great of a reveal of a character, in my opinion. for the game show.
I think she's going to be in season two for sure, because if you saw the trailer, there's a missile with lipstick on it. It was just one of her things. So, but yeah, it's got to be, again, for the Game Awards, it's got to be somebody big. And I don't think it's going to be one of the main characters. I think it's going to be a guest.
I'm trying to think. Is there like a popular show that has the general consensus at the moment, like how Walking Dead was, and then they just took the villain from that?
That's a good question. What is the most popular show right now?
The Boys.
I Am Negan on thecoalition.com.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if they'll do The Boys again, because he was already in Mortal Kombat. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but that is a good way of thinking about it. What is the most popular, or what are the most popular shows? Because again, Negan came out of nowhere, so you don't fucking know.
Yeah, that was
Penguin was pretty popular, but I don't know. Shows aren't that popular anymore. Like they just
DC has they wouldn't let the Penguin go like that. They still have the rights to that. The Penguin,
there's so many.
Yeah.
Well, the Injustice and the whole thing, the DC universe.
Yeah. Dude. What you saying? Oh, hold on, Carlos. I want to go back to what you said. So, what the hell do people do? I thought that's all they did, watch Netflix all day. Is that what people?
I don't know. I don't know what people do, but there's so many streaming services like Netflix and Hulu and Disney Plus and Peacock, and there's just so many streaming services that it seems like there's no real consensus show anymore. It's really hard to get that. Mm. I mean, The Last of Us is one of them. I don't know.
A Sony,
you guys remember?
Yeah, or Peacemaker.
But then they wouldn't be able to put that character on, you know, the Xbox version.
Who knows?
So, yeah, maybe Tifa. It's a solid shout. I'm trying to think of any other.
I say Jeff Keighley.
That'd be hilarious.
They'll put him in.
He'll get in a special suit.
Yeah. What was that? Remember, there was a character that had is Lex Luthor. Where in the Injustice game, he would look like a basic guy, but then he would put on a big mech suit.
Yeah.
So he could battle. And I could see Jeff doing that. It's like, it's me, hi. And then just getting.
Yeah. Rich, who do you think it could be?
Oh, no. I'm just as stumped as you guys are. I think you said some good picks. I'm guessing Tifa, since that was a request. But I do want to have, a question that I would like to ask you, Tony, that is related to this.
Yeah.
So if they are able to do this, because I'm sure you've heard the story, would you like to see a Waffle House stage in this season two character pack or whatever, you know, as another place to fight? Because I guess a lot of people want to see that for some reason.
Yeah, I remember that meme. Yeah, I think they should. That'd be great. Why not? You know, there are a lot of fights that happen outside Waffle House, so it'd make a lot of sense. Have Tekken characters just destroying the fucking parking lot, you know? And then you can just upload it to World Star Hip Hop, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's funny. All right. Anybody else want to jump in? Guest character Tekken? I'll take that as a no. So we'll move on. Illustrated Dio, our boy. All right. He goes, there are currently two Aliens games available. Aliens Dark Descent is a top-down team-based shooter currently free on PlayStation Plus. Aliens Rogue Incursion is a VR game. Which of these would you be interested in playing? Neither.
Neither.
I like the other one.
Wasn't there a Fire Team?
The Force. Yeah, Fire Team. That's the most recent one that I played, and that one was fun. Played that with a few people, and we had fun with that. Just running around, shooting the aliens on the ships and stuff.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah, but out of these two choices, I'd say neither.
I'm not interested. No.
I'm not doing VR, and I'm not interested.
I'm just not. It's like a licensed game. I don't know. I mean, obviously, a licensed game could be good too, but I don't know. For this thing, I don't know. I don't care. Like, I'm kind of done with Aliens.
Did anybody play Isolation?
Yeah, that was great. Fantastic.
That was a great game.
That was 10 years ago, though.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I was like, I'm surprised they haven't decided to make another one of those because it was such a big hit.
Did they remaster it or re-release it or something?
On the 10th year anniversary or something, but I don't... Didn't they say they were working on another?
I think they are working on a sequel. Yeah, they are, Right, Brian? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I distinctly remember that there was some sort of discourse where IGN said that they were happy or excited for like a sequel. And then people kept on bringing up their review of the first game, and it's like, are you really?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the modern version, who knows? But yeah, see, that I would be interested in. Sequel to Alien Isolation, for sure. But of these games, I'm not, I don't know about that, bro.
According to Tech Radar, it's a thing. So yeah, it is in the works by the sounds of it.
Yeah. And they said they'll share more details when they're ready. So we'll see.
I like that latest Alien movie. That was pretty good.
Really? And Romulus?
Romulus running around in there. It's, you know, seeing a bunch of people die, young people doing dumb shit. It was like a haunted house, but in space with aliens.
Well, I mean, that's what Alien is.
The original one was.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, but with these kids, though, it was so weird. It was like, oh, these kids are trying to escape this planet, and then they find this ship, and they're like, oh, we'll just use this. I'm like, what's in this room? Oh, Shouldn't have opened that door.
You know what? Since the Alien franchise is all, should literally just make archetypes of new characters.
Yeah.
Like you put the Shaggy guy. You got I guess the dog will be the robot. You know.
Yes.
Then you have all the same just surrogates for all those characters. Just Alien to me. Why not?
I agree. All right. Another one from Mr. Dio. Which first party Nintendo franchise should go third party? I'm going with Pokemon because that franchise fell off after the Switch's launch and because Game Freak has made multi-platform games before. I say keep them first party. I don't really care.
Like first party games? Like, well, I mean, like that would, I would, to be honest, I would think.
Say it.
Which one would you like, Manny? That's the question.
Which one would I like to have as a third party? I mean, yes. I would. I don't know. I feel like I want to go with something that makes the most sense to be
third party. Say it.
Sega? I don't know what you're talking about, Adam.
Metroid, man. Metroid. Let that shit go. I could see that being done. Let Metroid go.
You know what?
That's a good option.
All right. I'll go with that, too. That's a good one.
Adam answered it.
Because
it really is like the redheaded stepchild of Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they treat it like nothing.
Yeah, and it also doesn't have Mario or anybody in it.
Yeah, it doesn't have that vibe of their other games either. You know, I agree. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, Metroid, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Yeah, get it out of Nintendo jail. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't know how to function with that game or make it work.
You're right. Go ahead.
Is the question an IP from Nintendo someone else makes, or Nintendo making a game that they just put it on other platforms?
He says the question was first party games, that Nintendo first party. That's all he said. You know,
well, as if he gave control, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I understand why, because Game Freak, because they're kind of second party. You know.
Yeah. Like my answer I guess it depends on what the question actually is, but my answer was going to be Super Smash Brothers. It's like just the same people who make Super Smash Brothers just release it on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation along with Nintendo. And I feel like that'd be the best move because I think everyone would love that game regardless of the platform.
And not everyone.
But that would require Nintendo to be open to letting their characters be on another platform, even if it's in that type of environment. That is the point of the question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think they would do it though. If we're thinking logically, I see Metroid as like one that they would, as opposed to something that actually has Mario and Luigi and all those big name characters in the universe. I don't think they would ever let
that. I mean, it's a hypothetical question. Carlos's answer is fine.
Yeah, Adam. What?
I mean, we see how Nintendo's kicking down
doors. Yeah, remember, the question was about realistically. Like, they're not going to give up Pokemon, you know? But that's what he wants.
Chris could answer. Wasn't there, things behind the scenes about them threatening to go to the third party, go away from Nintendo at some point? Chris.
Who, Game Freak?
Yeah. Or Pokemon Company taking the game somewhere else.
Taking the game on the road.
Yeah, I mean, they have to. There's like a three-way split between Creatures Inc., Pokemon Nintendo and Pokemon Company. That's why they had to spin it off into holdings, right? Because Nintendo doesn't directly manage Pokemon. They're actually an independent company. But they're kind of a subsidiary of Nintendo, but they manage the IP. They manage the animations, the books, you know, all that
it's
stuff.
It's so merch. Shady. It's so shady. It's as if Nintendo's a mob to them, you know? It's like, what
will,
do you mean?
I will say to you, it was even more shady when more kids was involved. And the whole reason why the Pokemon Company even exists is because for kids entertainment with some very shady shit with a franchise that Nintendo didn't like very much.
Uh-oh. All right. Moving on here. Unless anybody else has any other answers for the Nintendo question.
I agree with Metroid.
Yeah, Metroid would be good. All right. Jolly Yellow Nerd, who's been joining us tonight. What's going on, brother? He goes, in regards to bloated budgets and long development time, does anyone have an idea as to how riots have not happened over Star Citizen? 12 years in development, budget of nearly $700 million. How can people be okay with a game that could possibly hit the billion-dollar mark? It's because that game is, I mean, actually, whoever wants to go first, I have my thoughts on it. But Brian, you could go first.
I think with that, it's because it's crowdfunded, so it's people willingly giving their money. It's not that's just how much it costs. It's weird to get it passed like that, which at this point, I'm kind of like, I can't really argue against people willingly giving their money to them for that idea. Again, you can argue that, okay, it's a scam on their part because they've not released anything out there like that. Fine, but again, it's just a weird case where people have willingly just given the money to them and that's it.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it. This isn't like, you know, being made by like a big developer that you guys know or anything like that, or it's like stock traded, whatever. It's like it's crowdfunded. It's a different beast, you know. And then it doesn't make any sense why other people would get mad if they're not involved in it. Like, why would I get mad about that? I haven't funded it. I don't care. You know,
I think the thing about it is the difference between a lot of the crowdfunded things is they're very regular as to keeping everybody updated as to what's going on. Like they've played, you know, they've played versions of the game. They've been a part of the process. I think that's the biggest falling, you know, the failing of previous like Kickstarter things, especially with a lot of the independent ones where they essentially just take the money and they just disappear for years and don't do any real updates. You know, these guys, like, they just had a weird little convention for them, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, all right. So, and they built a ship. They did all this sort of stuff that I think that's why people are not like, you know, want to take up the torches and start burning everything down. Right.
Yeah. Because they're getting their update. You know, and remember, this isn't like a game. I mean, it's going to be widely available, but the people that are funding it are people, you know, that really want this game. And I guess they're happy enough getting these updates. So that's why it's not like a bigger thing. It's not, again, it's not a major studio doing this stuff. All right. Got another set of questions from another awesome fan of ours who's been listening to us since the beginning, from episode one of Throwdown back in 2012. Mr. Drunken Demon, great guy, you know, swell fella. All right, good questions here. What would you like to see in an Invincible video game? Oh boy. See, with an Invincible video game, you at least don't run into the problem that you do with a Superman game. Despite his name, Invincible get fucked up heavily, you know? And Brett, I know you're going to jump in with this. I'm going to say now, give me the flight mechanics of DC Universe Online. Give me that shit, bro.
Fucking real talk.
Yeah, I'm telling you, no other game has nailed it. Some kind of, you know, big open world Invincible game would be fun. That's the way I see it. But he could also have it be like a smaller adventure, like a Batman Arkham or something like that. But you need that big world to fly around, man. You know? That's what I want. Big open world Invincible game. That'd be fun. And he could get fucked up, which is good. You know? What about the rest of you guys? What do you want to see?
Maybe if they did it in the same quality of like Spider-Man.
Yeah,
you know, that type of world, it looks like it's alive and craziness is happening. Maybe show some nuts stuff's going on in the background, buildings falling. Yes. And it's like, oh, what's happening? Oh, you know, there's another alien invasion or something. And, you know, maybe I'll get involved, maybe not. And shoot, why not switch it up and make it almost like a Grand Theft Auto, Grand Theft Auto 5, where you can switch to different characters. So you're not just playing as Invincible. You know, yeah. You press down the D-pad and you can select and you're playing as one of the other ones. That'd be cool.
Yeah. That actually would make a good, I hate to say it, I would make a good MMO because there's so many characters, there's so many, the world's so yeah, big, there's so many locations. That would actually work really well as a MMO, to be honest.
But they won't do it because then they're like, well, we have to reach the audience.
Yeah, so they're not going to do that.
Down. And that's the other part of it, right? It's a mature rated show, and you need that. That's the foundation there. That's why a lot of people tuned in to read the comics when it was around, and a lot of reason why people watching the show, and it's all bloody and gruesome. And they were like, oh, I can see it now. It's like the developers come up, writers, oh, we got this great, great. And then the Cheryl's like, all right, great, we'll do it. Just make it like a E or something, you know?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Can we do that? And then it's like, you know what? Just rip the script, forget it. We're out. We can't do this. We can't do it.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is, unlike most companies, Skybound owns their own video game studio.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't matter. They don't need to please any sort of investors because they make their own games.
Oh, that's good.
But would they have the budget to do something on that scale? That's
well, officially, they haven't done anything that big on that scale for any of their games. Like, most of their titles that they do are like Walking Dead or smaller titles, but like to do like a full open world game, they have yet to do
it. Yeah, something that ambitious. But you're right, they would only have to answer to themselves, so that's good.
Yeah, they own their own game studio.
Unless Amazon got deep pockets. If they were willing to invest,
Amazon Studios, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I could see Amazon saying, you know what? We know what you're capable of. We know the audience because we have your TV show and it's working well for us. So, yeah, port that type of content into a game. I could see them backing it. Yeah, why not? Let's go for it. Make it happen.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? What do you want to see in an Invincible game?
I don't know which arc we could focus on. Like the comic had so many arcs.
Yeah.
But I would say if you want like a challenge, you should do the Viltrumite invasion.
Ooh.
Because then he would be up against like characters that are stronger than him, right? Like if it's just a team stuff, then that would be easy, right? Like
That's true. Yeah.
There's very few characters that pose a challenge to him. But if it's the Viltrumite invasion, then that would be a big deal. Like you really like have three, to fucking fight.
Yeah. Obviously no spoilers here, but there are three huge invasions that happen throughout the whole series that would be really good because my man gets fucked up.
I feel like we're about to get into the first invasion next season.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that. I think you might be right about that. But, you know, we'll talk about that when we start doing the podcast.
He's trying not to spoil anything.
Yeah. One of the fun things about hosting the Invincible podcast is because I kind of just let everybody else speculate. I'm like, maybe, we'll see, you know. Oh, man. Carlos, what's up?
I feel like an MMO would be cool. Just have it because there's so many characters you can do different, you know, you can be different characters. Like you can be someone from the Global Defense Agency or Viltrumite. There's a lot of routes you could take. I don't agree with the Spider-Man angle. I just feel like you can't make like that type of game. I can't really see it working, but maybe that's just me.
Cool. All right. Another one. From Mr. Drunken Demon. Mostly for Brett. Should Diablo 4 be renamed to We Have Path of Exile 2 at Home?
No. You know, it's funny because one of the head guys over there, you know, after some of the Path of Exile 2 stuff came out, said, you know, made a big stink and said how, you know, these games should be called Diablo-likes. And I think that we should just call them maybe Path-likes, unless you're talking about a game that wildly undelivers on a decade's worth of expectations. Those games we should call Diablo-like.
Yeah. And I'm going to go right into the next question because it's about Path of Exile. Alpha Chuck, has anyone played the early access of Path of Exile 2? What are your thoughts? Do you believe the developers will make full use of the early access to improve the game prior to full release? Brett, you can start us off with this one.
I am playing right now. I played it most of the day yesterday. It is, I realize I'm breaking my arm to pat myself on the back here a little bit, but this shit is what Diablo 4 should have been. it's what I wanted from Diablo 4. It's really tough to say without breaking fully into the end game, but I can say from what I've seen already, leaps and bounds above Diablo. I mean, not only like, so Diablo has like limited skills, limited classes, and then in each class you're like, oh, you can choose one of three different paths, which is, you know, super MMO. I got into this game, I realized yesterday, you can take a skill from any single class. So if you're a mage and you want to carry a hammer and do whirlwind attacks, cool, you can do that. Just make sure you have the strength to hold that hammer. Like, it's just, dude, like, I'm playing a necromancer, and I was like, I want to take some pyromancy spells. Cool, just put those in. And there's, like, a million different ways. Like, it is inconceivable. Like, I didn't understand this about how Path of Exile worked. I didn't understand the build crafting potential, all the different ways you could just make a dope character. And honestly, like, I'm blown away by that alone. It has great visuals, it has great story. It's a little bit slower and harder than I think Diablo was. I think that's a good thing. Here's where I'm going to get a little bit controversial. Yes, I think that they will, and I think a big part of that is the way that they price the game. And I've honestly been having a real internal struggle with this. because, like, I honestly, full disclosure, I just went in and upgraded my Founders Pack from the regular $30 Founder Pack to the full $60 Founder Pack. And that is partially because I kind of put one foot in. I wasn't sure I was going to feel about it, and I already fucking love it. So I'm confident I'll get my price of a full game out of this already as it is. So the bonus of that is they give you a bunch of free in-game currency. That being said, the only thing in-game, the only thing the currency buys you is cosmetic stuff. And I feel like in every way I should be mad about this, because you're like, oh, they make all the coolest cosmetic stuff for things that you can buy. But honestly, like, it doesn't feel predatory. It all feels very upfront. It feels like, hey, here's the game, all the content, all this is technically free anyway. Like, if you buy in the early access, you're not even technically buying the game for early access. You're just buying the amount of in-game currency that dollar amount would denote. So, like, by buying the $60 game, I am getting early access, which is fucking great. But I'm really just buying $60 worth of in-game currency, technically speaking. And then they give you a bunch of other free stuff to sign. I mean, honestly, I don't feel like it's a bad deal. And that's why I've kind of been wrestling with it, because I'm like, this is a free-to-play game with microtransactions. But I honestly feel like I'm not being bent over a barrel here. And so I don't hate it. And in fact, I kind of almost feel like it incentivizes the developers for the same thing that I want. Like, we both want this game to be engaging and fun to me and all my friends from now until, theoretically, the heat death of the universe, if we can possibly get that. Now, that's not going to happen, but the fact that we're aligning those motives, like, you've heard me talk on this before. Like, I oftentimes kind of preach, ever since I saw Freakonomics years and years and years ago at this point, you really have to, like, watch people's motives and track the reason that they're doing things. And if you find yourself with similar motivations to people, or at least aligned motivations, then you're not necessarily in front of a friend, but it's not an enemy either. So, like, even though everything in my soul says free-to-play microtransaction riddle game with custom stuff or cosmetic stuff, should be an issue, but like, first drops I got was this crazy, like, ghosty toga quilt that gives me like these ghost flame effects. Like, I am getting cool shit.
So, Brett, the $30 that you paid, that was that's early access, and it didn't that come with cosmetics? Because, like you said, it's a free to play game. When it does release, it will be free to play. So, what does the $30 get you besides early access? What
it gets you $30 worth of in game currency.
Okay.
So, and another way that I'm like, they could make this so much worse is, like, the currency is for, like, $20, you're going to get 200 points. For $10, you're going to get 100 points. So, like, it's not this weird, I have to do fucking long division in my head to figure out how much money I'm spending. And the prices in the shop don't really seem like they're trying to leave you with just a sliver so that you're forced to buy more. Like, they don't feel like they're taking part in a lot of these underhanded tactics. And I would say, that just means that, you know, I'm waiting for the rug to be pulled on me 2 months after they launched the game. But from my understanding, with a lot of the original Path of Exile crowd, it's kind of always been this way. And that some of the people who have sunk obscene amounts of money into this, they've also sunk obscene amounts of time into it. You know, playing 3,000 hours.
It's free. You know, they have to make their money some way. And it's not like like the Diablo situation. You pay the 60, 70, whatever, and then you go in and you see $20 cosmetics. And you're like, what the hell? You know, it's like, I had to pay to get into this game, and now you're milking me for all this other stuff. So at least for Path, it's been free. And if there's stuff cosmetic to buy, well, you don't have to, but you can, and you don't feel bad because it was free.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of exactly where I was at, because, like, my girlfriend, like, kind of, she made a face when I told her it was microtransactions, and I kind of went, there was microtransactions in Diablo 4. There were not, there were the same amount, if not more transactions in a fully priced Diablo 4 game, and then, in order to get a new class, I have to buy the $50 expansion as well. Like, honestly, Diablo 4 is way more predatory than this game is, from what I can tell. And yeah, just even, like, you buy the early access, but you're not buying early access, you're just getting points. And if you buy $30 worth of points, or $60 worth of points, like, you get a laundry list of freebie cosmetic stuff anyway, on top of that $60 worth of points and early access to the game. So it's just one of those, like, I don't know that I would have normally gone and spent $60, but, like, I want to support the game. I want to, like, this... I love a lot of the stuff the developers have said. The more I've been waiting for this game to come up, the more I've been feeling safe about getting hyped. And, you know, one thing the lead developer, the owner of the company, was talking about, their idea was that they wanted to make a game that they would capture a core audience of 10,000 people to keep playing. And if they could do that, they could be financially soluble. And so that has always kind of been their motto. Like, they're trying to cash that 10,000. And in doing so, they got way more than that. But it still seems like they're not trying to... Their method for success is to keep aiming for that 10,000. And that 10,000 is, you know, the rest will follow. Like, if you cater towards your core audience. So, like, I agree with a lot of what the developers said. I agree with their philosophy. I enjoy the product they're putting out. I mean, fuck, they even came out a couple of days ago, or right before the game dropped, and said, hey, we've gotten more than 1 million pre-orders. This is way more than we expected. We've ordered more server space, but we're concerned about some stuff on the back end. So please bear with us on launch. If everything isn't as smooth as it should be, we're doing absolutely everything that we can be, and we just want to be transparent with our community on what to expect. So everybody went in expecting long wait times. There was no long wait times. There was some hiccuping and some crashing, but honestly, relatively smooth launch, which is, if you're anything in the MMO or online game launch space, that doesn't happen, especially with highly anticipated games. So really, I'm having a lot of problems coming up with genuine criticism for the game. It could be because I haven't reached that critical end game stage that a lot of people in the made Diablo 4 fall off. But even already, like, a lot of the boss encounters that I've had, they don't feel cheap. And it's not like, oh, here's an arena wide blast that suddenly gets you. It feels balanced at times, a bit overbalanced, but, like, it genuinely feels fun, engaging, and I've seen so many cool monsters already. Like, it's just the variation seems to be kind of off the chart too. It feels like a labor of love. And I am so absolutely overjoyed that the wider public seems to have really keyed in on this at the same time that Diablo is falling on its face. I hope Blizzard Activision takes note of this and actually tries to fix their shit, because honestly, they were worried about everything other than player engagement and enjoyment during the launch of Diablo. They wanted to make sure the game economy stayed stable and nobody was getting overpowered items and, you know, didn't pay attention to player feedback. And, you know, I've already seen some player feedback being taken into account from the preview events. So I guess, make a very long answer to a very simple question. Yeah, I think they've already kind of tailored and tweaked some balance things from just the preview. So I fully anticipate that they'll take advantage of this early access, because it seems to be very much a living game, which, you know, it feels like a lot of games are meant to be static. They're meant to be released and then be done with. This, because of the nature of it being free to play they want to make this a long-term thing, and they're coming off of the back of a game that's been wildly successful over a decade and pretty much stolen most of the player base from one of the most successful award-winning games and companies in the last decade. So I'd say they're doing a pretty good job.
Nice.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
There you go. Rich, I know you played it. What are your thoughts, man? Or your further thoughts, because you did regale us with a preview a couple of weeks ago. But I know you've been playing some of this now. I think you have. If Rich is still around. I think he's muted. Oh, there he is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Rich is still here. No, I think, well, first and foremost, I'm very glad to hear that Brett is having an awesome time with the game. I haven't had a chance to go back to it yet in the last couple of days because there's something else that I'm playing that I will be able to finally talk about later this week. But I will say that, yeah, I didn't really have any issues with the game when I was playing it, because obviously when I played it in early access, there was a period of time where people, they were able to play the game before it launched. So there wasn't that much activity on the servers, not like where it is right now. But I do want to give a shout out to our very good friend Weapon X, because
Reggie.
Yeah, he's had a lot of thoughts trying to play this on console. I guess there's been some issues on the console side with the, you know, as far as the input latency and stuff like that. I didn't have any of those issues on PC. Now, again, I haven't played the last couple of days, so I don't know if Brett, if you've had any technical issues on PC.
I've been playing on Xbox.
Yeah.
Oh, you're on Xbox.
This was Rich.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess this is my advertisement here to Reggie. Okay, Reggie, get off of PlayStation 5 and get an Xbox. If you want to play Captain Exile 2. Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, that might be the issue. You know, because you know Reggie's not playing on no Xbox.
Well, here's the thing. An interesting thing I do find, like, for some reason they can't release some of the, like, if you bought the pre-order pack that came with cosmetics, they can't give you the cosmetics until 6 months from now when the game fully releases, because something about PlayStation not supporting early access stuff. I didn't get the gist of it. I'm very interested to hear what's going on with it. I also think that, if I remember correctly, I'll have to check, so, you know, accountability cast, like, keep up on me on this one, but, like, I think this was the game I heard about that Sony was making a stink about, because by default, they wanted it to be cross-platform enabled, and Sony insisted that for it to be on Sony consoles, it has to be only on PlayStation. And then in order to turn on cross-compatibility or cross-play, you have to go into the menu to turn it on. Now, I could be wrong. I know this was about a video game that was coming up. I'm pretty sure it was about that.
I thought it had something to do. I heard something like that. I thought it had something to do with it had to be part of the PlayStation Plus, because it's a free-to-play game, and all these free-to-play games don't require Xbox Live or PlayStation Plus. And I thought they were just trying to figure out a way to get some money out of this. But who knows?
Maybe what was the developers straight up talking about, how, like, they were having problems with PlayStation not wanting to do crossplay on by default, and it was like they were kind of like, you know, there's crossplay in our game, we're not going to not put it on the PlayStation. And I guess the, you know, the compromise they came to was to put it off by default, so it has to be, you know, you have to dig into the menu to turn it back on. I'll look this up sometime when I'm not on the podcast and playing Path of Exile. Yeah,
it's weird that they would, I mean, because look at Fortnite, my son plays that on the PlayStation. He's playing with his buddies that are on the Switch, majority of them. I think there's one friend that plays it on Xbox and stuff, and you could see the status, those little symbols. And yeah, like I say, he's on the PlayStation, and it does support cross-platform play. So there are games that do it. So it kind of sucks if Sony's picking favorites here.
Yeah, we got to look into that, because I'm like, crossplay is just a normal thing now. Sony hasn't bitched about it like they used to. It's been years since they've done that. So we definitely need to look into this if that's the case. You know?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. My phone's got like 6% battery on it.
So yeah, like, we'll follow up on it. Yeah, we'll follow up on the Thursday.
Charge your phone, bro. That takes priority.
You know?
But it's been a busy day.
But I think for Call of Duty, it still doesn't support cross-play on the PlayStation. Like, you could go against PC, Marvel but you can't play against
Capcom. It. Doesn't do it either. Xbox.
Xbox. It's not on.
It's not on Xbox.
It's not on Xbox. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't play. How come you can't play on the?
Yeah, you can't play PC people. Yeah, on PlayStation and Switch people either. Yeah.
Good.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, man. Let's move on. Good stuff there about A Path of Exiles. Another one from Alpha Chuck. He goes, I've been catching up on all the Throwdown shows over the holidays since I've been, got behind. This is a bit of an older topic. In regards to Stellar Blade being snubbed at the Game Awards, was it really snubbed? Every review I've read, watched that praised the game, mentioned it, was good, but not groundbreaking. If Balatro was not among the nominees for Game of the Year, could we still say the omission of Stellar Blade makes sense? Here's the thing. You don't have to be a groundbreaking game to be Game of the Year, right? And as I said many times, I don't think Balatro has any right to be on that fucking Game of the Year. It should be like best whatever fucking game. But like, really? Balatro? So yeah, in that sense, I think something like Stellar Blade would be a better fit, you know, than fucking Balatro. You know, that's ridiculous. But it goes to show you the ridiculousness of this award show, you know, like that shit like that. Because probably, you know, Jeff Keighley probably got a good chunk of money from these developers. Yeah, Carlos, you know, but it's the money, you know.
He's not the money. Well, it's
game, just, that's the thing. A phone game.
A phone game. I know it was on PC. I know it was, but it's a fucking phone game. That's how most people know it, you know. And that shit's getting nominated for Game of the Year. Here's the thing. Because I, you know, because this is Twitter, you know how Twitter is. So when I said, I'm like, yo, I never heard of this fucking game. Like, Tony, how could you not have heard of it? Everybody knows Balatro. I'm like, bro, most of my friends are gaming people. We have a Discord full of gamers. Nobody heard about this shit. Like, come on now, you know? So, yeah. So, go ahead.
I just want to make a quick comment because I went over a friend's house last night for, you know, that we had like a little game night. And got a chance to speak to a couple of the people there because they was curious about, you know, because I said that I, you know, I'm working on stuff at the Coalition. That's the website that, you know, we're over at. And they're obviously not gamers. But then when we started talking about the Game Awards, they said, hey, that Balatro game is amazing. Really? That's interesting. Like I said, I haven't played the game, so I guess I need to try this out and see why it's
The same people that are like, yo, remember Flappy Birds?
Yeah, it's probably because it's a normie game. By the way, for you guys who don't know, here are the nominees. Metaphor, Black Myth, Elden Ring DLC, Astrobot, Final Fantasy Rebirth, and Balatro. Which one of these is not like the other? Come on, son. Fuck out of here with that shit.
I don't care about any of these.
Yeah,
maybe Black Myth, that's the only one that probably deserves it because small development team really nailed the overall aesthetics that they were going for. But besides that, everybody else can go off the boat. I don't care.
But that what you just said is the exact same thing that some people are going to say about Balatro because it's only made by one person. And I think that they're trying to create the story, the narrative. Like I said, the indie darling. This is why this game is getting all this attention.
That's what it is, yeah. It's an indie darling game. But, you know, yeah, so yeah, Subway got snubbed, bro, you know?
You know, even when you said it, when you said it again, I'm like, what?
Yeah, no. Balatro, yeah, you don't know.
You mean the casino?
Yo, man, no, fuck that. Yo, you know what got snubbed? Motherfucking Indiana Jones. Jeff Keighley put that shit as a fucking nominee.
Well, Carlos, let me stop you right there because I know you said that should be nominated for Best Action Adventure. No, Silent Hill 2 must be nominated for Best Action Adventure.
Yes, of course.
So that's obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, these stupid award shows should happen in January, not in fucking December. Makes no sense. Then Manny, your favorite game would be nominated, Marvel Rivals. You know,
Marvel Rivals would be what you would nominate. But here's the thing: like you realize the reasoning why it's in December. It's obvious. What is November, December? It is the highest.
Oh, yeah. Make that money. You know,
make that money.
What are people are looking for? Gifts. People, this is, and again, not to mention that the game is, you know, I always say this, it's an advertising vector.
Yes.
Every single portion of it is meant to advertise something. It's part of the reason why you have a guy, you know, go up on the stage, accept a lifetime achievement award, and then say, hey, I'm making this game after.
That's why I think Tekken is going to win. Harada's going to go up there, accept the award. Oh, by the way, here's a new trailer for a new character. You could buy it now. You know the grift. You know what's up. You know,
and I know what's going to happen. I'm sure, you know, because Indiana Jones is not nominated.
Troy Baker's going to show up.
Troy Baker's going to present an award, and then or before he shows up, he's going to talk a little bit about Indiana Jones. And then
there's
going
to be ads and commercials for Indiana.
No, there's going to be ads and awards.
Buy Indiana Jones now and look forward to our DLC. You already know the grift, bro.
Exactly. Yeah.
Already know. Every single game that's going to win something, they're going to have something to advertise, you know? I'll save the heat for the show because it's going to get
some. But I mean, what are people saying? I think everybody knows this at this point, that it's all about money.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of people, bro. There's quite a bit of
heat. Yeah, which there isn't.
Like they think of the Game Awards as the Academy Awards, even though it is far from that. You know, homeboy's like, oh, fuck the Oscars. At least the Oscars ain't trying to sell you something as soon as they walk on the stage.
Yeah.
Just saying.
By the way, I'm going to say this right now, because remember, one of my biggest pet peeves among many is the fighting game category, right? Guess what's happening? So Tom's Guide, the place where I work, since I'm the resident fighting game guy, I was tasked with coming up with the list. I feel my list is way better. You know what I did? I picked games that actually came out in 2024 that are new. You know, that these fucking people could be bothered with. It's insane. And no, I didn't put, I'm not going to put Sparking Zero on that shit. You know, that's not a fighting game. Out of here with that bullshit. They had a quote unquote tournament for it. You know what during the grand finals, quote unquote, the two players were just flying across the screen, not even fighting each other because there's no timer. Like, are you kidding me? Don't get me started on that bullshit. All right, moving on to the last couple questions. I volunteered Ace Ali to sponsor some of Alpha Chuck's other questions. So thank you, Ace Ali, even though you didn't tell me, but he's always cool with it. All right, there's a fun one. What weapons are you planning on being your second when Monster Hunter Wilds drops? Very good question, because it's something I've been thinking about. Because we all have our primary weapon, obviously, but now we get to have two weapons. So I'm like, oh, fuck.
Here's the thing, this is something that I didn't grasp while we were playing it.
Yeah.
My guess is Brian probably knows all about this stuff.
Yeah, he already knows. He already got the platinum before the game even came out.
You already know you got. So here's the thing. Are there any implications, any negative ramifications with depending on the weapon? Like, for example, and this is just me overthinking it.
Oh.
But like, let's say I'm Insect Glaive. Person, if my secondary is a hammer, does it weigh me down or anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, good. I'll go with Insect Glaive. I want to be like Brett, jumping around, flying all the places. Sounds like fun.
That's a good one.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but they nerfed Insect Glaive, so you can't do that anymore.
Well, this is wild, so you know who knows.
This is my good news story.
Yeah. Brett, since you're talking, what would be your secondary weapon?
Hammer. Wait.
Yeah. Mm. Hammer's good.
Well, no, I'm currently going through a bit of a metamorphosis.
Uh-oh.
I love Hammer. Hammer's my heart. Hammer's where I came from. Hammer, the bonk is real. But the Hammer Horn also has bonk. And magic powers. So, kind of love the Hammer Horn.
Can one of you guys please use the Hammer Horn so we have a healer?
Healing, yeah.
I got it. Dude, my favorite one was the one where you could like set it to like explode on the next hit. Like, oh man, like you could do some awesome explosion builds with that thing.
Yeah, that's good.
And you do Brits. Like fire.
Yeah, you do like fire, Brett.
I do. I'm doing explosion fire on my Path of Exile character.
Nice. All right. Chris, what about you? What's going to be your secondary weapon?
You know, it's an interesting choice, and I think I abandoned the Gunlance for a greatsword, and then I went to the hammer. I think I'm going to go back to the greatsword and second the Gunlance, because I loved the Gunlance.
Yo, Chris, is the Gunlance the one that shoots all the pellets that fall, like, that rain, like, it rains, like, pellets into the...
No, that's the, that's the bow. You could do like, a charge shot that rain, you fire the arrows up in the air and they rain down on the character. The Gunlance has a huge explosion, though. Like, you can stab the monster, and then you let out this charge shot, and it just does this massive explosion. I love that shit. Plus, the defense on it is great, you know?
Yeah.
So I may second that one.
All right. Brian, what about you?
I decided I'm not going to main what I did in World and Rise, so I'm going to go for bow, because I want to just be dodging around and not being hit, because that's more fun. And plus, the bow, it was so much fun in the beta. Like, you get to do some really stupid things that should not be allowed, in my opinion, but hey, it's in the game, so let it be. But for the secondary, it's a tough choice, because I don't main stuff I main prior, I can't do longsword, can't do heavy bowgun or light bowgun, and I can't do insect glaive. So I think, Tony, I might have to go with charge blades.
Ooh. Because
I've seen that they give you some buffs, and basically when you're in Savage Axe mode, you don't use files when you use your attacks.
Oh, that's good.
Which is... slightly very broken, but also I don't care. So yeah, bow and charge blade.
Yeah, see, the reason I'm going last is because I still haven't figured it out. Obviously charge
last.
Yeah, Manny, are you gonna play? Are you?
Of course I'm gonna play. All right, come
so,
on, man.
So you go next then.
Forget about anyway. Any, so yeah, I use the long sword. I'm probably gonna use...
Ooh, which one?
I can't remember. I know there's two guns, but I wanna at least have one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still undecided. I think I may go for the longsword, because I heard that's like the cheap one. Like, just get in there and just hack, 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 hack.
The longsword has a learning curve. Older game. But they've said that they've improved a lot of the way that game.
They say that they've improved it. I'd say that they put on training wheels for longsword
users.
Yeah, so you know how you have like your slash where you stab it and then you jump up in the air and then you slash down and it's very anime. Apparently you can cancel that so that you don't actually do it and you don't lose meter, because apparently longsword users were crying that they'd miss their attack and lose their meter.
Oh, well, that's the risk you take, motherfuckers.
The hitbox for that thing is very specific. You can, if you're not like, you know, on point, you will always miss it. And I think that's probably why they did.
Okay, hold on, Brian. As a charge blade guy, I'm very offended by that. Because, like, when I want to do my super move, I can't cancel out of that shit. I have to commit. If I have to commit, you motherfuckers better commit. And if it whiffs, that's the way the cookie crumbles, you know?
In actuality, there is actually a window where you can cancel it into Savage Axe mode. But after some point, you do have to commit. So it's like one of those moves. But yeah, Tony, I totally agree with you. Like, if you whiff, then you should just whiff and that's it.
That's,
you
know, it.
It's high risk and high reward.
Yep. That's the whole point. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that was the thing about the longsword. You didn't know the ins and outs of that sword. I mean, obviously it's deceptive, right? Because, you know, A, it's a giant, awesome sword, but at the same time, it's like, there is a learning curve to it. And if you don't know those things, then now, you know, you'll miss.
Yeah.
And plus, longsword had that parry move, like the circle and back, where we can literally parry every move. And I think
and that's how you charge the blade up to do the cool super slash move.
And that move had one of the longest in invincibility windows in the game. So it's like, how's longsword just getting all this love for no reason? I mean, with bows, when you do your dragon piercer, the one where you just like strike the ground and pull back for like 2 seconds, you are locked in that. Like, if the monster moves, then that's it. You whiffed it. And if you get hit, then you're screwed. And I like that, because if you time it right, you get some really good damage. But if you miss, then that's it, you know? So I don't know. I'm just not a fan of longsword like that, but. And plus, longsword is and has been the most used weapon in the last two games. So it just boggles my mind even more that they're getting that. And also with Brett's thoughts, the fact that Insect Glaive just got nerfed where you can't do the like the flying stuff anymore. It's like, why?
That's stupid.
Again,
oh, wait, is it the same, same for this new game?
Yeah, they also nerfed it for this one?
Oh, no, it was nerfed for this one. So
for Wilds?
Yeah. Yes. So basically, no, you can still jump in the air and do the swinging attack, but you can only do it once because previously, how it would work is I think it does like 7 hits in total. And if the last hit hits, then you get like a free bounce in the air and you get to do it again. So it's referred to as aerial glaive because you just go around the air like 4 or 5 times. But they changed it so that you only do it once.
And then you have to land, and then you can launch back up again.
It's done.
My answer just changed.
But yet, Longsword gets a cancelable out of the super move. It's like, why? I'm starting to hate Longsword mains. And I used to be one in Rise. So
yeah, maybe I don't. Yeah. So, again, I kind of wanted it because, you know, I want to be anime. But I don't know yet, Brian. We'll see. And I was thinking, like, maybe I should be, like, have a long range one, you know, to kind of balance things out. But I don't like long range shit. I like to get in there and fuck shit up, you know? So yeah, I'll figure it out. I don't know. I may be an asshole, but like, fuck it, man. I'm maining the charge blade and nothing else. You know, we'll see.
Nothing you from having two of the same weapons.
Yep. Oh, shit. There's nothing stopping you from having two of the same weapons.
You just fucked me up right now.
if you have, let's say for me, like you have some swords have like elemental things or side effects.
Shit.
Yeah, you could swap out for like a maybe like a poison one or something like that.
You're giving me ideas, sir. Mm-hmm. I may be that asshole, Brian. Like, fuck it, 2 charge blades, you know?
I generally never thought of that as an idea until someone told me. I was like, wait, that makes sense. You just have 2 of the same weapon. It doesn't have to be 2 different ones.
Like, yeah.
Duh.
And again, what I like about the charge blade, you get 2 weapons in one, you know? You get a big fucking axe, and you get the sword and shield, you know? It's great. Oh, I can't fucking wait, man. When that game drops, that's it. That's my year. That's my year, bro. You know?
So then what you're saying is that is your game of the year.
Oh, it's already a lock. It's already a lock. You know, and I know motherfuckers. Oh, what about GTA 5? That shit ain't coming out next year. I don't care what Rockstar says.
Yeah, 2026. You know,
2026.
Well, it'll win the award.
It'll still win the award.
Game of the year. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah, it'll win the most anticipated game because they do have that silly ass category.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It'll also somehow win best ongoing game too.
I was about to say to make the same joke.
All right, man. The last question tonight. For Chris, if he is present, yes, he is present. So here you go, Chris. The Switch 2 is the worst kept secret in gaming. From your experience, why do they continue to be radio silent on the imminent release and reveal?
Well, Nintendo has evolved to radio silence. Before, especially when I was there, it was deny everything. Like, the famous one was the 3DS, the XL, it was called the LL in Japan. Came out in Japan first. Journalist asked, when is this coming to the States? And the answer was, there are no plans to bring this system to the States. Now, if that is not the most intelligence-insulting lie you could ever tell, like, that was ridiculous to say. But that was an official statement from Nintendo. So they used to deny everything, right? So now they're just keeping quiet. Now, the Switch 2, they did make a statement in their financial report. I had read that, where they said the Switch successor. That's what they call it. So it's happening, right? Now, why don't they say anything? I think they just want to milk the sales of the current Switch, Switch OLED, the Switch Lite, as long as possible. They don't want to derail that system because I believe, like Tony said, they're going to launch it probably the same time they launch the Switch, like early March next year. So that puts it maybe a little less than 30 days from the end of their fiscal year, and they'll get that boost. But for now, they need to get through the holidays. So if they go, Switch 2 is coming March 2025, mark your calendars, whatever, then people are just going to wait. They're not going to, you know, buy a Switch for the holidays or anything. And they're just going to be like, oh, I'll just wait. So that's probably why they're staying silent. It's better than just lying, because that's what they used to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to call out that bullshit all the time. When Kimishima came out and said that they were going to continue to support the Wii U well into the life of the Switch, I said that was total bullshit. I'm like, there's no way they're going to stop production on that thing and bury it as soon as possible. And only a few months after that Famitsu interview, the Wii U disappeared. Just gone.
Like you said, man, don't trust Kimishima.
Yeah, I knew the MO. So I'd say, like, we're in a better place with Nintendo news than they used to be, where they just flat out denied everything or just misdirect. Now they just don't say anything. So that's actually an improvement.
That's good. Yeah, instead of just lying, you know, it's crazy, man. All right, start wrapping it up here. So, yeah, a couple of house cleaning things. We will be live streaming the Game Awards as we usually do every year. And I think we're going to start our stream since the pre-show starts at 7:30. I think we should start our stream at 7, you know, just fuck around, you know, give our pre-game thoughts. Got to hit up our boy David Gilton and see if he's interested. Probably will be.
I'm sure he'll be numb.
So, yeah, we're going to be streaming for, like, what, five fucking hours probably? Jesus Christ.
Oh, shit.
So get ready, you know.
I mean, here, Adam, you know, I know you got stuff going on.
Yeah, you jump in. Yeah, I was going to say, for you guys, jump in when you want. You're not obligated to jump in, you know, for the whole thing or even at the beginning, you know, or participate at all, you know. Jump in if you can. I'll just leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? This is not just for Adam, it's for anybody, you know, except for me and Manny. Again, you know, we're locked in. We got to do this, you know?
Yeah, we're going to jump. We'll most assuredly be there from the jump, but don't kill yourself.
Guys. So we'll stream the whole thing. We're going to, you know, bash it as always. So that's going to happen on Thursday. Sunday will be the last normal throw around your questions. And then the week after that, people, the last two shows of the year, the year-end special on Thursday, you know, which we'll talk about the best, the worst, and everything in between of the gaming industry this year, followed by the AMA special, which will be crazy, as always, you know. Stay tuned for all that. Rich, what can people look forward to from the Coalition this week?
Oh, yes. Well, it is the Game Awards this week, so there's going to be quite a bit of activity on the website this week. I know our very good friend, Mr. Adam Vale, has written a piece that we'll be publishing tomorrow, giving some advice on some games worth checking out on the Steam Deck. So look for that. Look for that.
Adam has a few other things cooking too, doesn't he? We'll be on the lookout for that. Lots of good listicle type of stuff coming for you people.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff coming. Of course, in regards to the Game Awards, I will be posting some stuff from there. And I happen to know a couple of things that, I'll be able to talk about regarding that show. And lastly, I do have one more review that I will be publishing this week for another game that I can't talk about yet, but it is a game that is coming out this week. That's all I could say. But stay tuned.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And Rich, you know, I just realized, like, because I always ask you, like, what you're, you know, what the Coalition's up to, you know, literally every Thursday, Sunday. I'm like, I think from now on, I should just ask you on Sunday. I think that makes more sense for the whole week because, like, not much is happening new between Thursday and Sunday. It makes no fucking sense. I just realized that now. You know? because on Sunday, then you can give us the whole lay of the land, you know? We got some good stuff, Rich. I'm excited to hear what you have to say about some of these NDA stuff. You know?
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that when we get to talk about that. All right, we're done here, man. So make sure you follow. What's up? Anybody else got anything to plug?
Real quick, Rich made me aware of this a couple of days ago. Invincible is back.
Oh, pretty soon. You don't got to tell me. I'm the host of this shit. You got to be up date, you know? When is this shit coming back?
February.
Okay, so we got time. Fuck that. We got time.
February.
Better not coincide with my Monster Hunter.
Oh. You know what they say about the... Better not.
Yeah, Or your Assassin's Creed Shadows.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah.
Oh, man, game of the year. You know, fuck Monster Hunter. Play that Shadows, baby. Hitting on Black History Month, too. Let's go.
I will say this. Yes, myself and Gary have something planned for that. So you will definitely want to stay tuned for that.
Something because, perhaps in the vein of the good, the bad, and the buggy, perhaps.
Yes, exactly in that vein. Yes.
Oh, man, I can't wait. All right, guys.
And that gets announced that we might get a new ownership for Ubisoft before that releases.
It was right, you know. It may not be Vicky Jamal, you know. Oh, man. Anyway, make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube and join the Discord where the conversations, the rumors are always popping. And, of course, you can follow us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week, everybody.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
Hello, people.
Right, guys, you already know. Yeah, man, you're coming Thursday. Game Awards, 7 o'clock. Later.
On the dice.